Now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
It means that the 2 months has been deemed null and void by the Supreme Court. Like Cranbourne, it's a very exciting potential for the next 5 to 10 years. So it's a rapidly growing training precinct.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
Time to get the latest with Matt Stewart. And Matt, it's a very sombre day today with the reports filtering through about Chris Caserta. Spoke to Jason Petch a little earlier, and Lindsay Smith also paid tribute because he was apprenticed down there for quite some time as well. But just a shocking, shocking story.
Yeah, terrible story, Michael. Sorry if the line's a bit sketchy. I had a good chat to Tony McAvoy this morning. Chris Caserta spent a fair bit of time with Tony midway through his career after the Jason Petch era, and it was a difficult time for Chris at that stage. He had a few demons he was dealing with, but Tony McAvoy remembered a very, very talented jockey who genuinely had a bit of X factor, who was going through a tumultuous time at the time with a few off-track demons, but he did remember a fantastically talented rider, and Tony, like everyone else, is really, really devastated.
No doubt about that. And once again, thoughts with everyone. And if you're doing it tough following that news, avail yourself of all of the services, Lifeline, Behind the Barriers, and the services that Racing Victoria provide as well. Maddie, let's have a look at some of the other news. And I see some news being reported on racing.com, but Robbie Lang is set to return to the training ranks, which will be great to see Robbie back training again.
Yeah, indeed. It's been a battle for a couple of years now to be granted a licence by Racing Victoria. Of course, he had a lot of financial obligations that he wasn't able to meet through various debts that prompted the removal of his trainer's licence, and now he's ready to go again. He's had a lot of reincarnations, Robbie Lang. He's one of racing's great survivors, and I'm going to have a chat to him shortly and do a yarn on our website about his return and the conditions of his return and what he hopes to achieve, and maybe some lessons he may have learned through his time out about the obligations that are required when you're a licensed trainer and so on as well. So he's a terrific guy, an amazing horseman, and looking forward to having an in-depth chat with him and then doing something for our website. But, he's a bit of a Lazarus, Robbie, isn't he? He's trained at about 20 different that I know of, and always seemed to claw his way back to the top. So looking forward to having a chat to him, and looking forward to seeing him back in the form guide.
Yeah, one thing that you cannot argue with is that he knows how to train horses. Some of his training performance has been phenomenal. So we're looking forward to that read. That'll be up on rsn.net.au a little later, and we'll try and get hold of Robbie next week and have a more in-depth chat with him as well on his return. Maddie,
I'll have a yarn on Chris Caserta as well. A lot of memories back to the Jason Petch era. I do remember going down there and doing a story after that terrible fall, and his leg was in a very heavy cast, but he had that big smile on his face, and he had a martial arts background. Mm. He used to do backflips at the drop of a hat, and so try and do a nice tribute to Chris Caserta later on as well.
Absolutely. Yesterday we were doing some stuff on the welfare situation with the paper that had been put out, 46 recommendations, and it was instigated by the Australian Breeders Association, backed by a number of principal authorities, including race clubs and the jockeys and the trainers associations as well. It was good to get Dennis Napthine on, who was probably the lead chair in the paper and the recommendations, and then Tom Riley from Thoroughbred Breeders Australia. And I agree with all of the recommendations, agree with the ethos behind it. The one question I have is, how are we going to get something so vast, so broad, implemented Australia-wide when we can't even get all the states to sit together, and how we fund it? What are your thoughts on this paper and the likelihood that we can move forward and get these recommendations, which are only going to benefit the racing and the image of racing long term, implemented?
Yeah, and I commend you for the way you conducted those interviews too. You multiple times, I could see what was going on in your head as well. It's almost like it's a philosophy, isn't it? And how do we turn this philosophy into a well-coordinated, implemented strategy driven from where? So, you know, obviously, I had a good chat to Tom Riley last night as well. And, you know, the next step, what is the next step? How is this implemented? And it comes down to government legislation and state legislation and so on. But there is, he did describe it as the great challenge now, is to get these warring PRAs to sit around the table for something they all agree is necessary and a very good thing. But how do we break the cycle of the inability of the states to coordinate? And then I'm trying to work out how it's governed. By what body is it governed? Does a body become created above Racing Australia? I spoke to John Massaro, who is the chair of Racing Australia. He hasn't read it. I'm not sure that the Thoroughbreeders Australia and Racing Australia and John Massaro have a particularly good relationship. So, I'm trying to visualise in the next, say, in 2 years' time, what all this means, because the individual PRAs, Racing New South Wales, particularly, and Racing Victoria, have their own projects, and they've got a bit of ownership, pride in the implementation of their own branded projects. So how does this all fit into those? Do they get absorbed into this? Do they coexist? Who runs it? I guess that was kind of the thought that you were having as well.
Yeah, I commend everyone behind it. I just hope that there is cohesion and the want from all the different individual principal racing authorities, individual governments to actually give it some teeth and some backing, because otherwise it's going to be like herding cats trying to get everyone on the same page. So we'll see how that plays out. Hey, we were talking yesterday about the cracking night of racing in Launceston, and it certainly lived up to all of the expectations. The Newmarket was phenomenal. We're trying to get Barry Campbell on. Hopefully we will get him before the end of the program. DeRoche, it was great to see her back in form last night. She made $26. I couldn't believe it. I'm Wesley, an absolute marvel at 9 years of age after having 12 months off. Finishing second in the race that he's won on three previous occasions was brilliant. The Inevitable was a bit stiff as well. That was the Tasmanian Newmarket, and well done to Cody Jordan, who rode the winner in that race as well. But the race we were interested in, Matty, was the three-year-old cup. This is what occurred yesterday.
I've got a good thing for you in Tassie today.
Oh, yes.
Barry Campbell's got Alpine Wolf. The male is, this is the best horse in Tasmania, and is going to prove it today. So in the okay, what do we got on it? Well, I've got Alpine Wolf. What you can have three to beat it, including the favourite.
I don't need three. Turk Warrior, that's the favourite. We just spoke to Glenn Stevens and he declared it.
Yep.
It is the most exciting horse in Tasmania. So this is good, Manny. We'll go head to head. You're on the Wolf, Alpine Wolf. I'm on the Warrior.
You're half my odds, but we'll call it an even bet and we'll go for a Penfolds 1-2-8. I'm not going to let you get away with the cheaper one.
Turk Warrior still a length in front. Alpine Wolf is trying hard, but the Turk's going to make it seven in a row. Turk Warrior first, Alpine Wolf second, and a triple dead heat for...
He was impressive. I came in this morning looking for a bottle of red. I can't see it anywhere, Matt.
Well, as you know, I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere at the moment. And as Dan Malecki will tell you, I never pay my debts when it comes to wine. You have agreed to a double or nothing. One thing I will say is I don't think I've seen two races in Tassie where there's so much depth and quality and potential. That three-year-old race, Alpine Wolf, my late male, as I told you after our conversation, was that he had a lot of improvement to come. His coat hadn't come through yet, and there was a lot of improvement there. And I'm happy to have a rematch, because I don't necessarily think yours is better than mine, and I think that gap will be bridged pretty quickly. But the Trinder had three in it. They're by Mainland Sires. They're by Alpine Eagle. I actually think that last night in Launceston represented a new level in Tasmanian racing. A lot of it's been, you know, the Victorian horses have come down and win the cups. The Tassie horses all seem to be like Wordsmith. No knock on Wordsmith. Terrific sire down there. But there seems to be a larger group of participant horses down there at the moment, and I don't think I've seen a more exciting race for potential than the race that you got your bottle of wine out of, and the depth in the Newmarket was terrific as well. So I just think that the signs in Tassie, I reckon Victorian punters would have been very engaged with that meeting last night and not feel that it was something alien to them with the Tassie horses. There was a lot to connect to last night, and I'm looking forward to some really good battles between the Turk and the Alpine in coming weeks. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing if some of them can come to the mainland and maybe do not a mystic journey as such or a still a star, but certainly be competitive.
I've got no doubt those two three-year-olds, they are very smart three-year-olds. Alpine Wolf's a very good horse as well, and he may well cut the margin back with the Turk next time that they compete. And you talk about being engaged with the meeting last night. Oh, absolutely. It was the best racing, thoroughbred racing in Australia yesterday, anywhere, at Launceston. I flicked on Sky to have a look at it last night, and I was really disappointed that this meeting was just wedged into Sky One. And on Sky Thoroughbred Central, they were running like replays and lookbacks on the Autumn Carnival before they launched into their full coverage of the Inter Dominion, which I will give them credit for, was superb. Gareth Hall dominating, as he has been recently. He'll be on soon. It was a brilliant coverage of the Inter Dominion, but I don't understand why they couldn't have given Launceston some Thoroughbred Central coverage as well for those feature races, which really deserved it. There was no build-up, there was no post-race, there was nothing.
I agree, and there was one race from Launceston that was bumped quickly to Sky 2 because they were milling around behind a dog race as well. So, I mean, it would be lovely if we could, you know, use a whiteboard, and I'd love to see Feature Tassie Racing on racing.com. I think that would be a perfect fit. There's a very strong link between Tassie and Victoria. I'd love to see if there's any way possible. One little thing too, I did notice with the coverage of South Australia yesterday, just a little tweak that I wouldn't mind seeing on .com as well. When they have the recorded vision of the mounting yard, and they show the mounting yard parade, but it's always when the horses are basically moving into the barriers. If they could kind of tweak it in a way where they maybe had the mounting yard pre-record 2 or 3 minutes earlier, it's very difficult. A lot of us use the mounting yard as the final guide to the bets we want to have. I certainly do. I love seeing in the mounting yard, and that can really influence it. But as it is at the moment, it's almost impossible to use that as a punting tool because they're too close to racing. So not a major knock, but just a little suggestion is maybe if they could give a bit more lead in time between the mounting yard pre-record and the actual running of the race, I think that would be beneficial to punters.
I think what the issue is there is they're beholden to the racing clock. So it's the amount of time between the Victorian race and the Adelaide or South Australian race to actually fit everything in. So if those two races are timed pretty close together, it reduces the amount of time that they can have to do that, where they are finishing on wrapping up the Victorian race before you go to the South Australian race. Because I know that's
been monitoring that. I reckon there is room. I have been looking at that exact thing, and I think there's still room.
Hey, speaking locally, down at Geelong yesterday, there was carnage and chaos trying to get to Geelong. A number of scratchings because of an accident heading down there as well, which was disappointing for the meeting because it was a really good meeting down there. And there was a great moment with the win of Ashy Boy, the first winner for Patrick Kearney.
Ashy Boy moves up and takes the lead from King Lenny, Princess Tina and Or Pierre, but coming away Ashy Boy with 100 metres to go, and Punch Right Out's going to win it well. Ashy Boy scored by 2 lengths, King Lenny, Princess Tina third, Flying Feedy's got...
Congratulations, Pat, first winner.
First winner, so... yeah, so absolutely wrapped. Bought this horse online for $7,500, and just always thought he wanted more, you know. He's not the easiest horse to ride at home, and you know, the more work he did, the further he sort of wanted. So I was really happy with him today.
1100 to 1400, and then you sort of set this 1700 then.
Yeah, saw this race about 2 months ago and just aimed for it to get him here, and he did. And I'm just proud of the horse and proud of everyone that helps me on the way at home. And yes.
Mate, don't be trying to be emotional, but that's the beauty of racing. That's the beauty of sport. It's a wonderful human thing to do, and we're wrapped for you. Everyone in racing's wrapped for you.
Yeah.
Jared Fry gets a pickup ride. What did you say to Jared before the race?
Oh, I've been trying to get Jared on this horse ever since it trialled, and sort of just said to him, oh, you know, he's so on pace, this horse. He doesn't have that second gear, so got to be off the fence and out and going by the 600, and once you are, he'll just take you the whole way. So he rode it perfectly. Couldn't ask for a better ride, and he did a great job.
Gee, that was a great moment. It was great to see that yesterday.
It was. I mean, you know, as you know, I've got a young fellow who's embarking on his journey into racing, and he looked at that and he said, gee, how old's he, Dad? And I said, oh, he's in his 20s. And, you know, I think it's inspiration to young trainers and young horsemen who... all they hear about is how difficult it is and how hard trainers work and how much we race and, you know, how they're eating the paint off the walls. And then you get a really lovely story like that about a guy who's embarking on this difficult journey and what it meant to him. So I think it was an inspiration, really, to young people in the game to say, well, look at what we can do and the emotion that comes with a win. And, yeah, I thought it was very very refreshing to see. Basically. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well done. Great interview from Matty Campbell on .com there. Bit of news on Black Caviar, Foal?
Sorry, I put through a bullet point earlier. I have to check that. Sorry, I'll have to get a bit more detail on that. All I saw was the headline on that, and I forgot to actually read the story. So, yeah, there is some news on Black Caviar. I'll text it through to Matty Nevin, and I'll let you know exactly what that is.
All right, Matty, you get back to looking after your son who is going through the apprentice school, and we will speak to you tomorrow. We'll read all about it at rsn.net.au.
Thanks, mate.